On Wednesday of this week, singer-songwriter Ben Taylor was in the Triad area for a special 90th birthday concert for his grandmother Trudy Taylor at the Arts Center in Carrboro. Ben and his band stopped by WFDD to jam in Studio A on their day off, and we'll get to that little recording session in just a minute. But Ben also recently released a new album titled Listening, and we're listening to it right now. This is Oh Brother.
Oh brother, once you realize that you're a star, you're gonna shine so bright.
Like most of his music, Listening covers a lot of musical ground, including pop, rock, and folk elements, as well as adult contemporary and country music. TheExaminer.com writes, quote, "It is safe to say that Ben's parents, acclaimed veteran musicians James Taylor and Carly Simon, are not the only talented ones in his family. Ben's singing and songwriting ability are also distinct and worthy of praise," end quote. Lofty praise indeed, but after spending an hour with Ben Taylor in the studio here, I'd say even that review was an understatement of his musical abilities. Factoring into my assessment is the fact that Ben played his guitar and sang like a fiend at WFDD, even though he walked into the station on crutches after recently tearing his Achilles heel, and he was nursing cracked ribs after a bad fall down a stairway the day before in which he re-tore his Achilles. After the recording session, he was off to the emergency room. All that to say, Ben was in a lot of pain and discomfort live in Studio A, but you'd never tell it by his performance. He stopped by WFDD with bandmates percussionist Mark Pusey on cajon, that's a box-shaped percussion instrument originally from Peru, and singer-songwriter and longtime collaborator David Saw on guitar. Sound engineer Ryan Casey set up the recording session taped live in Studio A.
They whispered softly.
Okay, well, you just play beat and I'll follow you. You ready?
I'm feeling hungry, took everything from me. I looked up at the stars, asked them what the sun say. They whisper softly, it doesn't matter to you. It really doesn't matter to you. Now what the hell made the green grass grow? I spilled milk, I got to clean that flow. Monopoly trying to lean past, go. Tell my brothers that I seen that, bro. A traitor ain't what it seem as so. Nodding yes when they really mean no. The lifestyle ain't what the magazine show. We did it dirty, now we keep it clean. I'm feeling hungry, took everything from me. I looked up at the stars, asked them what the sun say. They whisper softly, it really doesn't matter to you. It really doesn't matter to you. My auntie Pam down in New Orleans, she told me, money never grew on trees. They printed a few twos, but passed on three. So when the plague hit the planet, mass disease, I asked who's on top and who's last to leave. Used to be only conservative, but master me. Now we all teach babies they have to read. Mama life feeds only who she has to feed. I'm feeling hungry, took everything from me. I looked up at the stars, asked them what the sun say. They whisper softly, it really doesn't matter to you. It really doesn't matter to you. Do believe, star, those pretty trees are expendable, pa, just like you are and what your needs are. It's 10 o'clock, ah. Do you know where your little seeds are? Welcome to the most pretentious show ever. And the nominees are those little things that matter to you. Those little things that matter to you. Ooh, I'm feeling hungry, took everything from me. I looked up at the stars, asked them what the sun say. They whisper softly, it really doesn't matter to you. It really doesn't matter to you. It doesn't matter to you. It really doesn't matter to you.
So that was a song called Hungry that I wrote with Bette Sussman and John Forte very many years ago, and we've been sort of kicking it around in one form or another, but it makes it to the show because we like to play it. I like to tell people that that the most pretentious show in the world are the little things that matter to them. Anyway, that doesn't seem very... That seems pretty mean-spirited. I don't think I'm that way. Anyway, this was a strange introduction. Now for something completely different. David Saul and I, we write a lot of songs together, and we were sitting in a flat in London that I used to live in watching Outkast videos on MTV. And it was the video for Hey Ya, I remember so clearly. It was Andre 3000 shaking his Polaroid picture, seeming so cool, telling the young lady in question that he would like to forego the whole formality of being introduced to her father and just have her instead get directly into his Cadillac. And I started getting jealous of it. I said to David, how come we can't write like a dead, honest, canine love song like that? And he said, because we can't get away with it. I said, well, how come? David's from England. That's why he sounded like that. He said, we can't get away with it, mate. And I said, well, why? And he said, because we're Triple S. I said, Triple S? What does that stand for? He said, sensitive singer-songwriters. I said, what, so we can't do Freaky? And he said, not at all. I said, well, what if we try to write a song like Hey Ya, but in the style of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young? And he said, what would your father say? I said, oh, I know what my father would say. My father would say, one, two, miss a few.
I just wanna take you out and get you drunk so I can have my wicked way with you. I'm just being honest cause I know the other guys are thinking just the same thing too. And I'm not gonna lie and say that I would take you out to dance. There's just no chance. Cause I don't even like the same music you do. I just wanna have my wicked way with you. Don't you fight it. Don't knock it till you try it. Show me some skin, I might bite it. Ooh, I wanna have my wicked way with you. I don't wanna meet your friends or just pretend I like you. And I don't wanna talk about what happened on your favorite TV show. I just wanna get you close enough so I can take off all your clothes. And I'm not gonna make you cry or break your heart. Girl, we don't have the time. I'm just thinking of 3 hours or more so I can have my wicked way with you. Now, don't you fight it, because I think you're gonna like it. Show me some skin, I might bite it. Ooh, I wanna have my wicked way.
Wicked Way. We heard singer-songwriter David Saw on guitar and harmony vocals, percussionist Mark Pusey on cajon. That's a box-shaped percussion instrument originally from Peru that sounds amazingly at times almost like a complete drum set, and singer-songwriter Ben Taylor with crutches at his side and nursing a couple of cracked ribs. He sang lead vocal and played guitar for us live in Studio A. Be careful. Do what the doctor says. Take it easy. You already learned your lesson on that one, man. I'm sorry. All that to say, I mean, to be with a broken rib and a torn Achilles here in the studio and playing for us and playing that well, it's pretty incredible. Thank you for coming.
My pleasure, man. It's like I said, most of my songs are broken songs that sound better when I'm a little bit hurting.
It's like a friend of mine used to write songs and was really good at it. He used to put a pen between his fingers just to get a different configuration with his fingers to do something a little unusual and get some unusual sound.
Yeah, I throw the guitars into tunings that I don't know how to play in, write on instruments that I don't know how to play. It's a lot of fun.
Get you out of a rut. Do you ever wind up finding yourself having to physically, mentally, whatever, get out of a compositional rut where you put some aside and try something new?
I don't, and this is perhaps a luxury that I can afford myself that not everybody can do. I tend to be prolific enough if I just wait until something is absolutely tearing itself out of me in a way which can only be expressed and articulated musically.
Huh.
I don't tend to sit down and write songs for the sake of writing songs. Or when I do, I'm never pleased with the outcome.
That book, Songwriters on Songwriting, something like that. Neil Young's approach, very different from Paul Simon, very different from so-and-so, so-and-so. It's such a personal expression. But you're actually waiting until it's just building up inside you, and then I got to get this down. It's not even a question. You got to do it.
Well, it's just there's 85,000 moments of, you know, potential moments of heavy inspiration during a day. If you were actually tuned into all of them, it would explode your brain. And it's just, you know, those things inspire you to do one thing or another. Maybe they inspire a non-sequitorial tangent of thoughts which leads you back to building a golf cart with your ex-landlord or something. Or maybe they lead you to something which says, wow, I have something to say about that. And maybe it's conversationally expressive. It's something you call your old man up and talk about. Or maybe it's a point you need to make to your lover because you haven't communicating yourself right. Occasionally, one of those moments of inspiration, you hear it in your own head musically. You don't hear it as any other kind of communication. And when it's that, then that's the only way to express it.
Yeah.
I wait until that happens before I write a song because those are the only songs that really want me to help them write themselves.
It's great. Revealing the statue within the boulder.
And those are the only songs that are actually willing to write me, too. And that's what I require from my art. I don't want to just be in control of changing it and the outcome of what my art sounds like. I want it to be responsible for changing me, too.
That's a great way of putting that. I never heard that before. That's awesome. Thanks. Hey, I wanted, Dave, could you jump in? David, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Could you all collaborate on, I mean, that's pretty personal stuff. And I'm wondering that process between the two of you, because on at least two or three of the songs on YouTube, you introduce them as a collaboration between both
David
of you.
David and I write tons of songs together.
How do you dive into that dynamic and then contribute and have your own personal expression within that?
I think it's because we're one person. We spend so much time together that I know what he's thinking. He knows what I'm thinking. We have similar tastes and it just seems to work. I mean, it's a really, really effortless sometimes when the songs come.
We're like songwriting Voltron.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, going back to what I was just saying about inspiration, David's ideas, the ideas that he comes up with musically, they inspire me. So that's already setting me up for something which I've been inspired to have something to say about, and it's already had a musical beginning.
The melodic or harmonic component or lyrically as well?
Every way. There's no way of telling what is going to start a song. It's kind of like playing poker and needing jacks or better to open. You just sort of, you know, we bounce ideas off each other all the time, and one of us will be like, whoa, that's, wait a second, there's something in that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's really easier when you have somebody to write with. Not just anybody, but when you find somebody who's a good writing match for you, then it's like an effortless matrix ping pong game.
Well, that's what I want to ask you, because it is sometimes, when you're collaborating with somebody, it gives you that extra energy or confidence or whatever. But for you, David, what is that? What is that dynamic where it's the two of you that makes it, you're impervious to pain or you're going to make finish the tune versus just on your own?
I mean, I think like in some aspects where say like I brought an idea or a start of a tune, I don't think I would have been able to finish it without Ben, because he can take it to somewhere that I might not have gone, and vice versa. So it's a weird situation. We write songs in cars, we write songs at airports. I think the thing is like we both get so excited about it. That's what I love.
And it's going back to what you said at first about do we ever get stuck in a rut, and by yourself, it's much easier to get stuck in a place, not a rut, but just you run out of what you have to say about on the topic and you don't know exactly where else to go. And if you have somebody who thinks the same way as you but doesn't exactly have the same brain, then you bounce it off them and they say, oh, I completely know where to go from here. You know, David and I, it's like sharing the driving duty on a long road trip or something like that.
Yeah. And there's nothing better than someone going, that's great.
Yeah,
because that gives you the enthusiasm to finish it.
Yeah,
you know, if you're on your own, you're always asking yourself, oh, is it as good as I think it is? I'm not sure. You know,
you and I don't have a whole lot of what would you call it, pillow talk, or sort of we don't kid glove ourselves.
No.
We do not tell each other about liking stuff that we don't like.
Yeah, we're very honest, and especially when it comes to songs, it's like nope. Or, yeah, spot on.
And you need that. The dynamic between songwriters can sometimes be so mutually considerate and polite. yeah. to a detrimental level. You know, you can sometimes sort of know after you, know after you, know after yeah, you. Yeah, yeah. You know? And David and I have a pretty good back and forth about it. So it's good chemistry.
I'm always looking for parallels in Branford Marsalis, now lives in Durham area, and Joey Calarazzo, the pianist, used to play with Mike Brecker. They all are here. And they were just on the YouTube the other day talking about how they just improvising. Mm. It's a very similar dynamic. They were asking a similar question. Well, I just know him so well. I know where he's going to go with that phrase. I know what substitution he's going to use there. So when I come in, it's just, I know what's going to happen. I love that.
I think that when we met each other, there was a big David Saul-shaped hole in a lot of my music, and there was a big Ben Taylor-shaped hole in a lot of his music. And, you know, rather than try to fill those ourselves, we sort of try to make them bigger to give each other more space to be themselves and to make them truly collaborative like that.
Yeah. Well, just enjoyed listening to it. I mean, anytime you can jump into a new venue, completely new, foreign to you, makeshift setup and sound that good, it doesn't just happen overnight. You guys have both been doing this for a long time.
When we met each other, like the first, the day after I went to see Ben, and that night we went out and played 3 gigs, and like
none of which were booked.
None of them were booked. We just turned up at places and played, and we really started practicing. For the first 3 years, we practiced so much. I mean, we still practice a lot now, but like for the first 3 years was like when we were touring, all the other musicians were asleep, and we'd be in the back lounge just trying to hone down the harmony guitar parts and really
over and over and over again. Yeah. I mean, and I think as a matter of fact, it's come to a place now where at first we were a little bit apart from each other, and then we honed into sort of relatively perfect synchronicity, and now we've got this great thing where you push a little bit and I pull a little bit, and it creates the most subtle sort of subliminal tension, which makes the whole thing feel better.
Tempo-wise, push and pull? What do you mean by push and pull?
It's not even a tempo thing. Our tempos are locked. It's just that his interpretation of the downbeat is ahead of mine. His one comes slightly before mine does. I mean, and I'm talking about ever so slightly. And my one is always confusing the hell out of drummers, because drummers are like, oh, wait a second, is this supposed to be slow, or is he just so laid back that he's about to phrase this next thing a beat late? And that's usually the case with me. I'm super back pocket, and David's right about in the middle, a little bit front pocket, and together we've got a loose chain, a lot of loose change rumbling around, and I'm making tens of dollars.
So that's settled into that groove. Second take of Hungry. You know, you're on just the very back end of the beat, and actually it was a little tempo shift as well, but it does make such a huge difference in the audience. There's a comfort level that we feel as listeners that
once you get the right pocket, everything's easy.
Victor Wooten said, you can't hold no groove if you ain't got no pocket. You know, I love that line.
He has such a deep pocket that he can actually hold a groove in spite of the fact that he plays every note there is to play.
Yeah.
And a half.
Right. Yeah. Great guitar work all the way around, too. I really enjoyed listening to your playing.
It's nice to be appreciated by pianists.
I appreciate, in terms of just sound, I'm a huge sound guy. I studied the clarinet for years. This timbre just hits me. You've got, vocally, such a lush sound and so many of the best qualities that I just personally love in all my favorite vocalists. Did you just arrive there with those pipes, or have you developed certain aspects of your sound? I'm getting kind of weeny on you, but
that's a great question.
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
I started out sounding almost exactly like James Taylor. And little by little, sort of different influences and whatnot, they sort of steer me away from whatever sort of genetic propensity to sound like that I had, and more in the direction of the things that I hear and like and the person that I'm becoming.
Yeah.
I tend to think, like this morning I show up to you with a broken rib and a snapped Achilles tendon and whatnot, and I've been singing straight for the past 30 days or something like that. My voice is spent now, and I think it sounds better this way than it does any other way. I don't have a lot of songs that are sort of shiny, happy people holding hands songs. Most of my songs, they got some broken element to them, and I feel I'm in a better position to be able to express those honestly when I am a bit broken.
Yeah.
The one thing about Ben, since I've known him, is his singing is impeccable. His tuning, his pitch is absolutely, I mean, I've done countless numbers of shows, and it's just like, it freaks me out how it sounds so good all the time. It's like, damn it, drop a note.
I've dropped some notes, man.
Not many, dude.
You don't have enough of me in your monitor mix.
Yeah, that's just this morning, I'm reading this great quote from Thelonious Monk talking to Max Roach saying, Max, would you just drop some notes already after your gig? It's just too perfect, you know? Love it.
Thelonious had some great little sort of Bartlett moments, didn't he? Sort of, the other thing that he said that I love is, don't practice your mistakes.
Even in terms of projecting it within a really soft dynamic and getting that focus, I appreciate as a listener when you can hear that nuance. You just got one mic in front of you. There's no one here mixing. We're not raising the level to hear the crisp ending of notes and stuff like that. Is that something you've worked on, or how do you develop that ability?
I have an innate philosophy that's something that I only just learned to put words to because of something that one of my favorite poets said. But dynamic is so important in music because, as Mos Def said, true power move quiet through the understanding and the science. And it's really, really true. I'm in a position, so long as I have a captive audience, to be far, far more powerful with a whisper than I do with a scream. And that's just something that, in order to express myself the way that I want to and make the feeling come alive, I've needed to get good at being quiet.
Two thoughts come to mind. One was just last night I was in Chapel Hill listening to Michelle and Diego Cello. She was having some issues with her sound man. Jesse had a rough night, and she was with a smile and a softest voice saying, Jesse, we need to talk. But you could feel the hurt in the audience. Come on, man.
Oh, I would be so scared if I was him because she's such a beast.
You don't want to mess with Michelle.
Oh, man. Anyway. Oh, God.
Well, Ben, before I let you go, something about you that most people don't know about, even some of your most ardent fans that you'd care to share. Not trying to put you on the spot, but I just went up and did it.
I've taken a great long while to become a more sensitive, patient, compassionate, imaginative lover. You know, really to the point where I don't mean to pat myself on the back about it, but I think that out of the ordinary.
Now. How about that?
Yeah, above par.
That's a setting example for the rest of us.
I think so.
Yeah,
you know? The sensitivity and imagination are really the two key components, I would say.
The phone's gonna be ringing off the hook with some requests for Wicked here in a minute, but that's keeping it real. Well, thank you both so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Sure appreciate it.
Pleasure is all ours. Thanks so much for having us.
How can we believe it after what we've been through? America. Now we can keep believing, but there's so much to do. So much to lose, ooh. She was as pretty as a dream, the most amazing girl I've ever seen. Not just did she look good, she made you free. She said you belong to me, and I won't see your spirit in shackles. The snake makes apple wine for the paradise fair, and Eden bats the lashes of her eyes, lets her hair down. The dancing feet so fine, don't wanna go nowhere, but she gets thirsty for apple wine. Sometimes, America. How can we believe it after what we've been through? America. Now we can keep believing, but there's so much to do. So much to lose, ooh. So then she took up with a white man who seemed to have no feelings. He just couldn't get it right, man. Kept killing and stealing, and he moved all of her tribesmen to lives with lower ceilings, where the stories were needed, the forgotten wise. He made his fools king and made himself god. Traded guns and lives and drugs and cod. His wealth grew greater, he never learned to sing, but he always was a rather good sailor. Hey, yeah, America. Now how can we believe it after what we've been through?
Singer, songwriter, and guitarist Ben Taylor. He was joined in our interview with guitarist and frequent collaborator David Saw. Percussionist Mark Pusey joined them live in Studio A on the Cajon. Our recording engineer live in Studio A was Ryan Casey. On Wednesday, they played a special 90th birthday concert for Ben's grandmother, Trudy Taylor, at the Arts Center in Carrboro. Their new CD is Listening, and it's available on iTunes, Amazon, and all the usual suspects. Treat her right. She cried and cried and tried to make him see the light. She only lied and always had to pick a fight. He spends most of his time abroad nowadays, so now she's mine. It's time to get her back on track. I've drawn the line and I'm not looking back, because it's long past time. Even if she's been through hell with scars and lines, she's still so fine, my America. Now how can we believe it after what we've been through, America? So much to so much to do, da 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 dum, da 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 da. I know, da 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 dum, da 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 da. My Lord, my Lord.